This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Dumbele on 101.9 High FM.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's installment of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Dumbele. I'm always pleased to be sharing this space and time with you. In tonight's conversation, we are tackling a very important issue around emotional intelligence. We all know that there are a whole lot of intelligence that managers are expected to see, one being spiritual intelligence. It depends on spiritual intelligence. We've got people who understand and appreciate emotional intelligence. We've got people who appreciate and look for technical capabilities. And most companies have always been looking for people who are more technically inclined. But based on what you see around us, around the world, especially in the work of world, there's more and more need to have a rounded individual who possesses not only technical capabilities, but also emotional capabilities. Before we get into our gist, I will quickly thank, Ms. Sipiwe Zama, who gracefully allowed us to have a conversation with my guest here. And I also want to thank Craig Guthrie, who's on our controller, pressing all the right buttons. And most importantly, I want to thank you, the listener, for giving us an audience from time to time. If you've got any issues that you may want to, express, you're most welcome to have those, your views shared on our social, WhatsApp line is 0618951019. And of course, your views and issues are most welcome by my excellent, which is _ Dr. Bell. Without any waste of time, because technology sometimes can really mess you up, I'm joined by Mr. Zwane, who is a renowned public speaker, who is also a mindset development specialist, global keynote speaker, and ask a very important question. Are we facing leadership crisis, or are we witnessing a crisis of emotional intelligence? Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome Mrs. Zwane. Jabu, welcome to Beyond Governance once again.
Good evening, Nimrod. Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for bearing with us. You know how technology does from time to time. But be that as it may, and just very quickly, is leadership crisis we are witnessing today fundamentally an emotional intelligence crisis issue or rather than a capability crisis?
And I think a lot of it has to do with emotional intelligence. And the reason why is because we have prioritized IQ as the most important metric in who we put in leadership positions. We take people who are technically able, that are able to solve problems, that are able to come up with solutions, manage systems and functions and operations. And because of they're so good at it and it helps the companies to make money, then we think that automatically those people are qualified to be in leadership positions. But what we neglect to realize is that leadership requires that you have people skills. You need to learn how to manage your emotions when you're frustrated and understand other people's emotions when they're also going through difficulties. So we cannot just drive people's skills based on the skills without fully understanding how they're feeling, what their capacity mentally and psychologically are, even as they are, performing those technical skills.
Look, I mean, you make a very good point, for a manager to be cognizant of, issues which employees or issues which colleagues brings to fore. But how do you, how do you juxtapose that with bottom line? You as a manager, you are expected to deliver, and you're dealing with one or two individuals who are very good in what they do, but they're not able to deliver. So are you there to carry the people's emotions? Are you there to walk around eggs, shells, just to understand? How do you get that fine balance? Because I get it. We work through people, but ultimately you also have targets, you also have deliverables. How do you make sure that while understanding the targets that are expected of you, and you still have to work with people that have a whole lot of baggages?
Well, look, the reality of it is that every single person has some baggage, whether we are aware of it or not. And understanding that, you know, as much as people may be highly skilled and technically able and to deliver the work, the how they feel as they do that work is a crucial part of how they deliver that work.
So which means it's important for managers to be always aware of what people may or may not be feeling at that, at a particular point in time, for them to tap into their best.
Well, emotional, you know, struggles impact how people deliver. And I think creating an environment where people are able to attend to how they're feeling, whether it be because they've lost a loved one or because they're going through some kind of a difficult time at home or whatever the case might be, is important. People, when they feel they are allowed to experience human struggle, they tend to actually push themselves even more. They tend to be more motivated to work, to do more work, and to be more productive. But when they're not allowed to feel and to experience those very basic, those necessary human emotions and human struggles, then they tend to then experience work from a high pressure point that makes it even more, even difficult for them to deliver the very skills, the very abilities that they know, you know, that they can, the very work that they're able to do normally very well. So it's not either or. The moment we try to separate that and say, well, you know, leave your problems at home, as soon as you walk into this office, then you must leave your problems at the door. Yeah. Unfortunately, those problems are in the head. They're in the emotions, they're in the mind, they're in the entire person's, the entire person. There isn't a magic pill where you can now grab things out of your brain and then just dump them at the door. And I think when people feel safe to feel, to get tired, to be confused, to be hurt, and the environment allows them to process those feelings even in real time, they tend to be super motivated, and data backs that up.
I couldn't agree with you more, because we are emotional beings, and we thrive in an environment that is more sympathetic and compassionate. And I think, I suppose more and more, you know, corporates are becoming aware of that particular environment, to a point where they've got programs that are supportive of elevating the emotional side or the emotional intelligence side of the employees, so that they can able to deliver. But to what extent do you think, you know, based on the work that you do advising corporate, could you give us a sense of some of the programs that exist that have worked to empower individuals, managers, who are by themselves also human, coming with a whole lot of pressure points, both family and also and any other environment? What sort of problems are there which the listener may think about or tap into, bearing in mind the importance of delivering goods and services to their clients?
Every single stage of your career, every time you get promoted, you're going to be dealing with different challenges, different people. It's important to be trained, emotionally speaking, for those levels. And also, even as you're going throughout your life, there are different life stages. You know, you'll be having kids, you'll be experiencing different life stages, even in your own personal life, given the ages and all of that. I think emotional intelligence, as part of the training program at work, must consider, and it must include navigating different life stages, navigating different career stages, navigating different environments, especially if you're speaking about multicultural environments where you're dealing with you know, people from multiple countries and different backgrounds. It must also include sensitivity to gender, you know, the different working with different genders within the work environment. Those are elements of complexity that are part of what every employee has to deal with.
My name is Nimrod Timbele. If you have just joined us, I'm in company, you know, of Mr. Jabu, you know, Zwane, who is a guru in and a thought leader in managing complexities environment. By you know, his claim to fame, so I'm told, is that he's able to help organizations to be empowered by elevating emotional side of things, such that managers are able to tap into the best side of their employees. Before we took that short break, you know, Mr. Zwane made a very important point that which ultimately fits into organizational culture. You know, we, South Africa, obviously any other, you know, part of the world, we see more and more diversity, we see more and more races coming through, you know, genders and so on and so forth, which invariably adds another layer of complexity, which the traditional way of handling has been questioned and needs to be reformed, so to speak. How do we build a culture, you know, of inclusivity, Mr. Zwane? Because based on what you're saying, you know, you can't talk of emotional intelligence if you don't understand inclusivity, if you don't understand redress, if you don't understand, because, you know, when you don't, you know, we don't understand all those issues, I suppose it becomes even more and more difficult for you to drive change. Your take on that?
Look, I mean, different backgrounds have got different problems and challenges that they get to resolve in different ways that they do that. And so when we allow and make space for different cultures to be part of how we operate in the workplace, we actually then have multiple intelligences that we can tap into to find creativity, to explore different ways of solving the same problem. The challenge with having the same people from the same background looking at the problem is that they'll always be looking at it from the same lens, from the same position, from the same experience. The moment you bring somebody in there who has experienced a similar problem differently or has solved it differently, then you've got now a second chance of being able to solve the problem, and a third and the fourth. Studies are out there that prove that multicultural inclusive environments are more profitable. They have people who stay a bit longer. They've got high retention of staff. They've got higher levels of staff satisfaction. But also they remain relevant longer, because innovation is a big part of that. Creativity is a big part of that. And we all know what happened to a lot of these companies that were quite traditional, that were quite stuck up in the way that they did things, that a whole bunch of them end up tanking. And today, when you look at it, companies that are thriving, they're thriving with the inclusivity of people from different backgrounds and different nationalities.
I couldn't agree with you more. But here's another added layer of complexity. I'm sure you'll agree with me. As artificial intelligence is increasingly, you know, part of day-to-day work, and how do we navigate that particular space in terms of both cognitive skills, which obviously is such a big part that is required, but emotional side of things, because there's all of disruptions that are coming, you know, through based on the emergence of artificial intelligence. A lot of jobs are technically being phased out or are likely to be obsolete in the near future. What does that mean in terms of elevating emotional side of things? Because I think this is the greatest opportunity for corporates, you know, both in when you look at a public sector or private sector organization, where more and more has to be invested on emotional intelligence, because here we are having this super powerful, super intelligent machines in the form of AI that can diagnose, problem solve, and all lot of things. And yet the people who are supposedly managing those environments are not as competently or are not as superior as machines, so to speak. What is it that corporation needs to be doing differently to elevate the competency of employee managers so that they're able to match the intelligence of AI?
I think the idea is not to match the intelligence of AI, but to actually leverage the abilities of AI, especially abilities that supersede those of human beings, which is typically the scale of work, the speed at which work can be done, the ability to include diverse information. I think from that perspective, it's a matter of understanding that AI is a complementary tool to the workplace, but at the very same time, it's still quite dependent on our ability as human beings to be emotional, to have a critical thinking, to be able to relay our human experiences into AI platforms, and then be able to combine those to help us continue to work as human beings. I think it'll become quite clear for many companies that have even laid off thousands of staff, thinking that AI models and AI, virtual assistants and can help, and only for them to quickly realize that the challenge with AI is that it is very much dependent on human evolution. The more we go through changes, the more we figure things out. We feed that information into those AI language models. But because we also have morality as part of how we operate, we also can code, or we have to direct the moral elements of AI. Because one of the challenges is that the moment that you give AI models autonomy, they quickly become very corrupted. Mm-hmm. It's almost like there's this inability to, because it doesn't have conscience. And it cannot feel emotions. And those are two crucial components of being a human being, your conscience and the emotional strife and struggle you feel when your conscience is being violated. And AI models cannot do that. So it's important to have a very good understanding of AI can help human beings to achieve their human agenda, but they themselves on their own cannot have an agenda. Without human beings, they will have an agenda that in the end actually can become self-destructive. I think those are some of the concerns that even Google CEO raised.
And interestingly, but when you look at the amounts that is being spent on AI vis-a-vis the amount of spend on human development, chalk and cheese, I mean, the numbers are staggering. What does that mean? Because that's a reality that we all have to contend with.
Well, the reality of it is that for us as human beings to be able to find a balance and to be able to know what works, yes, we've got to spend money. Yes, of course, a lot of money has got to go into developing AI and to know what its capabilities and limitations are going to be. Because of what we've already explained, it can be a very helpful tool as far as, helping with productivity and many other aspects of being a human being. And so it is worth the investment. However, the goal, though, is quickly becoming very clear that it cannot be to replace human beings. It can't be to replace human labor. It should be to complement. It should be to supplement. It should be complementary to us, to what we are trying to achieve for ourselves, not so much to replace. Yes, there are certain automatic things and monotonous things that can be replaced, and it's better if a machine that is more precise and more accurate to perform, but you're not going to have an AI counsel a person, give a person a psychological lesson, or coach a person to become better at soccer and those elements that require human interaction. When people try to use that, it had become harmful, because currently we know that AI platforms do hallucinate and they can completely give you a completely wrong advice, especially if you are in a wrong mental state. And so The idea is not to replace, and I think that's where the focus of most companies must be, not to try to replace human beings, but to figure out how AI can help with human agenda.
I'm sorry, I wish you could have had more time, and I suppose the apology comes in that we had a bit of few technical glitches, but I hear where you're coming from, and I think you're making profound points, around how AI needs to be carefully used. AI has to be used as a thinking partner, not a substitute for human being. And you make very important points around a hallucination of AI. You make a very important point on how AI's inabilities to counsel an individual who's going through trauma. Those are elements of managers. If you spend 90% of your time at work, your colleagues understand you better. They can counsel you better. They can advise you better, as opposed to relying on AI. I suppose I'm going to AI environment purely because of that humanness, human intelligence or emotional intelligence that it was a thrust or is a thrust of our conversation. Your concluding remarks, Mr. Zwane.
The concluding remarks is that we are in, I suppose every era is different. We are in a very different era and we'll continue to go through different eras as human beings. The most important disposition, I'd say, is that have a disposition of adapting. Understand that change is part and parcel of life. It's important to then learn what change is happening, what is required from your side as a human being in terms of your gaps of development, the gaps in skills, gaps in knowledge, gaps in abilities, and be willing to put yourself through the necessary development to ensure that at the end of the day, your skills, your abilities, your character, your mental and emotional abilities do match the environment that you're in. And intrude into that as well, your ability to work with people, to collaborate with people, and to be as objective as you possibly can be. It's there's a danger with being one-sided. There's a danger with just sticking with what you know and being unwilling to open yourself up to the unknown. So there must be a healthy level of caution as much as there's a healthy level of fascination and interest in terms of going forward, and a healthy level of exploring new things and seeing what is possible out there.
Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We're going to have to leave it here. Thank you so much, Mr. Zwane.
Great pleasure, Nimrod. Thank you.
Thank you. There we go. That was Jabu Zwane, who's a renowned mindset development specialist, global keynote speaker, and executive coach, giving us very interesting insights on what seems to be missing within corporate space. That is a need to elevate a little bit more on emotional side of things, because most companies, they have been preoccupied with technical capabilities. And we now understand that as much as technical capabilities is important, but we need to counterbalance it with emotional intelligence. As we conclude today's conversation, the one message in my mind stands out very clear, that is, leadership is not only about intelligence, experience, or technical capabilities. It is also about self-awareness. You have to be empathetic. You have to apply sound judgment and the ability to build meaningful relationship. Therefore, emotional intelligence, in my view, shapes how leaders make decisions, resolve conflict, inspire trust, and create environments where people can thrive. My sincere thanks to Mr. Zwane, who gracefully came through to give us his inputs. Once again, I want to apologize for technical glitches that pretty much messed up our conversation. But nevertheless, I hope you did not lose out much. Let's do this again next time. Shalom.